Come on, you Spurs. Welcome back to the Two Added Minutes podcast. I know Colin is going to just hit me with a bout of silence after I do that, so I'll go right into the intro so I have something to fucking say so I don't look like a fucking idiot. But big game week. Colin's back. What's up, dude?
Hey.
You're having a fun time.
It's
times like these where you must really, like, just be thankful that you got into soccer and into fantasy too.
No. it's rough out here.
Well, dude.
I mean, fantasy wise I'm doing okay, but
yeah, you're doing good fantasy. That's like a consolation though.
Yeah.
Although I know that there's been games before where people score against Arsenal who you have on your team and you're definitely happy about that. As you should be, like, you know. So it's a give and take process. But that's why you got to pick up Son when you're a Spurs fan. Dude, I was looking at a stat today. Son has scored, okay, I'll phrase it like this. He scored 10 goals, right? Which I think is the same number of goals that Arsenal have scored. And I think Kane has 11, right?
Yeah, something like that.
That's not the stat, though. So guess how many XG Son has had, though, like throughout this season.
Is it pretty low?
Well, just guess.
He just, I don't know, 5?
That's not bad. 3.9. 10 goals off 3.9 XG.
He has something like over 60% conversion rate of his chances, which is just, like, insane.
Yeah. Dude, there's just no one. I think Son has, like, he's not a perfect player, but I love watching him in, like, open space, man. He's so good.
Yeah, he never misses when he has that. I think, like, the average conversion rate for, like, or, like, what's considered good is, like, in the 30s, like, percent or something like that. I might be talking on my ass, but
yeah, I was actually, I was excited for this. I've never heard anything like that, but, like, I've never heard what that number is, but that sounds, like, yeah, that sounds appropriate.
I mean, you'd be, like, you'd say, like, 60s are unsustainable, but I think that Son is, like, always going to overperform the average there because he's such a above average finisher.
Right. So yeah, let's go through some of the games this past week. We'll start with, there was no games on Friday, right? So the first game of the week was Burnley and Everton. I don't think I caught this game. But a Brady goal in the third minute was what got them the point here. And then Everton just couldn't, like, get the offense going, and Calvert-Lewin tacked one out at the end of the first half. But I think a disappointing game from them, and they're sort of slipping in form.
Yeah, I guess Dini is out for like 2 months, which is a big loss. I think when they were really good at the beginning, it was because they had like their one game plan that was working perfectly. And then whenever they face any like drawbacks to their game plan, they don't perform well. So
right.
I think that's why they're sort of, we might have seen like their best already, and then they're going to kind of regress, I guess.
Yeah, I definitely got a little bit too excited about them at the beginning of the year, which I'll admit. But yeah, I don't know what's up with James. Like people are looking to sell him, like, and you know, I get it, but I don't know. I think it is true that he had a hot run of form, but I think he'll still be better than he was. Like he probably still got a decent number of points in this game, but
yeah, I'm happy owning him. He got 19 points.
So that's
with no goal contributions. And I think if you're playing, like, the main game or you have less, like, stats giving you points than we do, I could see why you'd be looking to move him on.
Right.
Because I don't think he's going to be as much of a, like, goal threat or whatever as he, like, was early on in the season. But he should still take, like, free kicks and stuff. And he's still going to get a lot of, like, ghost points. So I'd definitely happy to holding him in our league, I guess.
Yeah, I think the biggest hit has been, like, the Everton midfield. They've suffered, like, fantasy points-wise. And they're not, like, really strong to begin with, especially if they play, like, a 3-4-3 like they did in this game.
Yeah.
Like, all their talent is up top. And when Dina comes back, he'll sort of balance that back out. But that won't be for a while. So, you know, Calvert-Lewin is still producing. On the Burnley side, it was interesting. Like, I saw Dwight McNeil hauled in this game. He had, like, 22 or something ghost points in our fantasy scoring. With no goals or assists or anything. So I like him still. He's still my number one choice. Although Westwood picked up an assist. I don't know. People still have Chris Wood. I don't think he starts on the team that he's on in our league. Someone like stranded on their bench.
Maybe.
But dude, I don't know. I'm not interested in him, especially in a league that has so much fantasy like ghost point potential.
Yeah, I don't mind him for like a backup, I guess, but he's probably only good if he scores.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't even like.
And yeah, backup. McNeil is definitely like the only player I'd ever like want from Burnley, because.
And I think that 22 or whatever points was definitely a record for him this year. I don't think he's done that before.
Yeah, probably.
But they played a good game. Man City beating Fulham 2-0. I was kind of pleased with Fulham this game. I predicted 2-2 because I wanted to be bold, but De Bruyne penalty, yeah, and a Sterling goal. Sterling owners will be happy to see him score. I think Fulham put up a good effort. They were never really in the game though. They didn't have too many clear cut chances.
Yeah, dude, Gab Jesus is so frustrating as to own him.
Oh yeah, dude, that's why I don't touch him.
He got 5 ghost points. Even the game where they scored 5 goals, I think he got like an assist or something, and that's it.
Yeah.
I feel like he just like makes runs and stuff and gets marked and whatever, and then everyone else scores. So kind of sucks. He has saved one of my game weeks like early on though, with like an injury time goal or something.
Yeah, he's good for that. Yeah,
and City are always going to score, so I don't feel like I can drop him.
Yeah, I think I definitely underestimated Mahrez this year. I don't know, like he's been good since 2015, but he definitely looks like sort of the flow of City's attack. Like he's just consistently on the ball and like doing good things, especially for fantasy scoring. Sterling, like I don't know, he's become more goal dependent, I think, this year. Which is tough if you drafted him in the first round. But on the other side of the ball, Fulham looked good. The one thing I really wanted Fulham to do was, like, I don't know why they didn't actually, but they didn't start Tom Kearney. I'm not sure if he had, like, a knock or something like that, but I think he could have changed this game and sort of given them something going forward. Because, they were in the game, you know, score-wise, so I would have liked to see him play.
Yeah.
He's good.
It looks like they played Reed instead for, like, the defensive output, I guess, but
yeah,
and stuff like even Loftus-Cheek, I'm kind of curious what he did fantasy wise, because is he owned, do you know?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Barnes owns him, but I'm not positive. Someone owns him, but yeah, I'll look too.
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious what he scored, because I think he's, I mean, it seems like all Fulham players are good. Like
He put up six
even
points.
Even if they're terrible. Okay, that's not great.
Yeah, his peak ghost points was 10, like a few weeks back.
Yeah, but then I look at like, and he was playing even further forward this game, but like Anthony Robinson again, like almost 14 points just from against City.
Yeah, he's a stud.
Even though I feel like City are, like, since they have so much possession, usually they really suck the points out of all the other teams they play. But somehow it feels like a lot of Fulham players still got some good ghost points despite that. So
yeah, because I played whoever I mentioned earlier in that previous game. McNeil. He hauled, like, 22 ghost points. And then this game showed up, and Anguissa also hauled. He had 20-plus ghost points.
Yeah.
And Gisa's, dude, that's a pickup. He was on waivers like week two or whatever in our league. That's such a solid pickup. I love that. But
even Caballero had 10 ghost points, and he's not a player I would ever consider owning.
Yeah, that was weird. I'm not a big Caballero guy, but he did. He had some good chance. He was like the one who was shooting for them. He was taking all the shots, as I remember. But I'm sure Lookman did too. But yeah, and Gisa's,
yeah,
and Gisa's kind of my choice right now. Because Tom Kearney didn't start, but I think both of them are really good. And then Robinson, if you need a defender.
Yeah, and Geese is playing every game. He's great. Somehow, did he play? Oh, yeah, you went up against Anguissa with 21 points. That's rough.
Yeah, dude, back-to-back, I had two players, like McNeil and Anguissa, that like I just wanted to not have good games so that I could like have a chance. And
they had like their best games of the season.
Right.
Pretty much.
And then there was another one of those. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to remember it, but at some point I had another player who like had an insane game. Next result was West Ham and United. United came back and won this one 3-1 after the West Ham goal in the first half. Pogba.
Yeah.
Great, Greenwood secured his first goal of the game, which was not at all first goal of the season, which is not surprising considering that I traded him 2 days before the game started.
Yeah, the other thing we were talking before this was I saw Bruno wasn't starting, so I benched him, and then of course he subs on a half and gets 40 points or 30 points.
Never do that. Never do that.
So I'll just never bench him, or unless he's like not in the squad at all, because that's I think that's not the first time this season he's done that. Come off the bench and score big. So.
I don't think so. Yeah, that was bad. I did like that though, because you're so on top of changing lineups in and out that it finally hurt you. And I was pissed because I forgot to take I didn't wake up in time to take Andrus Townsend out, so I was happy to see one go.
Yeah, I have started slipping on the early morning ones.
Yeah, it happens. But like lately, the worst thing that possibly could happen is happening to me, where I wake up at like 5 minutes after, and then I can't go back to sleep because the game's on. But I didn't set my lineup anyway, so I'm just like depressed. It's just terrible.
Yeah, that's worse.
Tellez is hauling. He's doing really good.
Yeah.
He had an assist in this game too, but I think even in the games where he doesn't get one, he's doing good. Yeah, I don't know, dude. It's just interesting. United are still like players I don't want. I don't think I have. Now that I dropped Greenwood, I don't have a single United player.
Yeah. I'm so happy with Bruno. I think he's the best from a fantasy standpoint for sure. But I also picked him 7 overall, so or 2nd overall, I mean, so he better be.
Right. Yeah, I think there were some missed chances for West Ham in this game. I don't really remember. I remember Bowen having one. Hallaire had one, too, that I remember just being depressed.
Yeah. I was curious about this. So West Ham almost had 3 XG to United's 1.5, so
interesting.
I think that's kind of quality of the players, like, coming through there for the win.
Dude, West Ham need they've been on a good run, but they need Antonio back because Haller is just not getting it done. But Antonio would be such a good add. Oh man, I as an owner of Antonio, I can't wait. But oh, and this game did have it. So Dwight McNeil, right, first game of the weekend, then Anguissa in the second game, and then in the third game he plays Declan Rice, also a 22 pointer. Unreal, dude. Fucking Declan Rice. Lad.
I feel like Declan Rice is like, you'd think he's a terrible fantasy pick, but he gets like all right points, doesn't he? Week in, week out. I mean, he plays every single minute of every single game.
He's able to get up to double digits quite often, but 22 is by far a record for this year, so.
Yeah.
So I was pretty bummed. And then the That's fact unlucky. That I had, yeah, I was just having a bad start. Yeah, dude, Suchek scored. Did you play him?
Yeah, I had no choice because I didn't have Watkins and I didn't have, well, Martinez doesn't matter because he's a keeper, but, and Pepe's still suspended and Partey was just coming back from injury and, of course, we played him and he got injured and had to come off and that was what led to the Spurs' second goal was that he, like, couldn't keep up because he was injured.
Right.
Do
you think that
I didn't risk him either.
Does Suchek put up good points like on a non-goal basis?
No, he's had some stinkers. Well, I mean his lowest is like 7-ish. That's
good.
The lowest he's brought. So it's not terrible, but like he really hovers around there. And then he's had one game with like 25, and this game was 22, which was good, but.
So worth having, but nothing special.
Yeah, he's definitely like the first one I'm usually looking to sub out.
Right.
When I have my bench players available.
What's your take on the United forwards, the four of them? Like Martial, Cavani, Rashford, and Greenwood. Where do you rank them in terms of like, you know, what you'd give up for them? Like who are you seeking to get, who are you not seeking to get?
I think it's got to be Rashford, right? He's their best this season with goals, and that's he plays all the games, so there's not really any question there. I would have said Martial at the beginning of the season based on his last season form at the end, but he's just not really getting it done. And now with Cavani, he's like kind of potentially getting moved to the side for him too and stuff. So
mm-hmm.
I don't see a lot there. And then Greenwood, I don't think I've seen start consistently enough to want him. Like, I don't know if he's, if you put him on waivers or if someone has him now. But
yeah, I did. I fucking put him on waivers where he belongs, as far as I'm concerned.
But did he get picked up at all or no?
Don't think so.
Oh yeah, he's still there. Yeah, I mean, I'm not really going to be looking at him either, and I see no one got him on, like, the Tuesday wire, so.
Yeah. Rashford was the other player. I knew there was two United players that came out at halftime that, like, ended up getting a lot of points, and Rashford was the other one who scored the goal.
Yeah.
So it was interesting that he came out at halftime, but that was just, like, a weird thing that he did, that Ole did. Probably not going to be consistent, but.
Yeah, it's like with West Ham, they can, like, I feel like Cavani's good if they're on, like, a fully parked bus like Burnley or something, but
mm-hmm.
the more fast guys, the better against, like, teams that aren't going to park.
Yeah. And then in the last game of the day, Chelsea took down Leeds 3-1. An early fourth-minute Patrick Bamford goal is not enough. Giroud, Zuma, and Pulisic scored the three for Chelsea.
Yeah, what do you think about Giroud? That's what I want to ask.
like personally or as a fantasy asset? Because I think they're both interesting questions. They're both interesting questions.
I already know what you think about him as a person. So.
Let's just say that, like, when he left Arsenal, I really thought I would hate him a lot less, but I hate him exactly the same. So, you know,
really? I love him. Even though it breaks my heart to see him on Chelsea, I still love him.
I mean, I would
but
still love
scored,
Kane if
what,
he went
four
to Chelsea.
But. Against... Scored like four against Sevilla the other day in the Champions League.
Yeah, too. So they rode the hot hand and benched Tammy Abraham, which was interesting. I mean, fair, like a good call, but.
I think the big thing too is that Werner's still stuck on the left, although Pulisic came on 30th minute. So for Ziyech, yeah, is that a bad injury?
Yeah, I think it's going to be 2 to 4 weeks. I mean, it's not bad, but it's bad.
Oh, that's not too bad. Yeah,
it's bad considering he already missed a ton of games with injury.
Yeah, but I mean, Pulisic maybe. Well, even still, Werner will probably still be left because without Ziyech, they're going to. Unless they move Kai up. It's weird where they're playing Kai, honestly. I don't know.
Mm.
He seems like a big flop of the season.
Yeah.
Which I think we talked about that last week or the one before.
Yeah, I mean, I think their ideal formation up top is Ziyech and then Werner in the middle and Pulisic on the left, but. I don't know. I think that, dude, they just need to, like, Mason Mount, like, gets so many points, but I just hate him. I don't hate him that much. I just really dislike him.
Yeah, well, the thing is, Frank plays him, like, every single game, so. Yeah, that's crazy. Like, he had the 43 points with one assist.
Yeah, dude. What? He almost took down Yam God in our league. Right? Isn't he on the Siders team? Cuck me for free. I don't know. I remember him contributing to this game somewhere.
Is. Yeah, and one assist, and that's still only two big chances created, and he's at 43. That's crazy.
Yeah, he was fucking nuts in that game.
Yeah, well, their expected goals were like almost five. They had almost five XG.
Right.
And I'm not sure what time Cuck came off. Oh, he came off the 9th minute. Yeah, so that... Yeah. That's going to be a big issue for them, but no one was buying them for their defensive assets. Like, they conceded, what, 3 goals? And then, I don't know, like, what was their players' points for that? Let's see if I can look at that, because I...
The one player I'm interested in is...
You have,
like,
Dallas, right?
Yeah, Dallas
did
had a...
Dallas still do well?
He had a stinker, no. Okay. 6 points from Dallas. He's... The most, he's probably, now that I traded away a few players, he's my most depressing player.
Meslier still had 12 points with 7 saves despite letting 3 goals.
Yeah, 7 saves is going to get you that. I remember I give Alioski a shout, even though he wasn't starting like 5 weeks ago, and now he seems to be kind of in the lineup, which is good to see because I think he's good.
Yeah, it looks like he's starting, but I don't know if he's, I don't know. He got 5 points, so.
Yeah, he got subbed off, and then I don't know. Yeah, Leeds don't look as good against great teams as they did like at the beginning of the year. But Jack Harrison is still I love him. I love watching him. He's just a motor. I don't know why they step him off. Maybe it's because he runs so much, but maybe it's just inhuman to like do that for 90 minutes. But he seems to just have an insane motor.
He just has an engine, but I still think he's lacking in like some skill, but
yeah, I mean.
And then Rafinha on the other hand. I mean, I think he got 8 points in a game that Chelsea dominated, so it's not too bad. Ever since it's his third start in a row, and it looks like he's gonna be there now, so mm-hmm. I feel better about him.
Yeah,
if he's still somehow available in your league, even though he had like 26 points last week, so people probably saw him if he's on people's waiver.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think Phillips and Click are like the two most consistent players. And then Harrison probably is like the highest ceiling. Well, Bamford, I think, has the highest ceiling, but he misses so many chances. It's kind of sad. Yeah, I mean, you obviously need him, but he misses a lot of chances. I think I tweeted about that. Whenever I tweeted it, he had the most in the league. Probably still does.
It's still good that he gets a lot, but it's just like even now when Leeds are going to have high XG, they're still going to not have the players to take the chances because they have people like Bamford. So,
mm-hmm.
But it's still better than like a similar forward from like a shittier team.
Right, yeah. And in the next game, Crystal Palace dismantled West Brom 5-1.
Yeah, dude, that's crazy.
Fucking depressing. I just picked up Furlong. He definitely got the most mentions in our last podcast. He shows up with the own goal and 5 conceded. That's just...
Hey, he had an assist, though.
He had the assist to keep it alive. People were actually talking about how, like, it was so amazing how good he did in, like, even the normal, like, Taga track scoring. And he did even more decent in our league because, like, our league counts more shit, but he had, like, 11 points or something. Which, for my defense, is a fucking premier, dude. You can't get better than that. My defense is so bad.
Yeah.
But, yeah, dude, Zaha went off. Benteke went off.
Yeah, it's crazy. Zaha playing at, like, striker now. He's insane.
I just don't get West Brom. Like, I don't know. This result doesn't make any sense based off, like, their former, like, form.
Yeah, I think I don't know. I think they've been, like, the worst team in the league for ever since Fulham, like, kind of got their shit together a little bit.
Yeah, Fulham made some great signings. And, like, I think they're out of relegation right now, and I think if they do get out of relegation, like, at the end of the year, that'll be just, like, a success story for them. But, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Pereira red card didn't help in this game either.
Yeah, for sure. Dean Ghana got subbed off at halftime.
And it just came down to the class of Benteke and Zaha, and Etse had a great game.
I wonder when Benteke's last brace was, because it's probably been like years. He usually has so much trouble scoring. I'm sure they had that stat like in the commentary.
Yeah. I had Sam Johnstone in this game as well. I had the West Brom keeper and a defender. Oof. And the own goal defender, so that was cool.
Oof.
Yeah. But I don't know.
I was going to say, I'd take the Crystal Palace thing with a grain of salt just because I think West Brom is so bad. So,
yeah,
and
I was going to say.
Their red card. Like, 4 of the goals came after the red card, so.
Right. I mean, I do think Etse's stock went up quite a bit just because he's like a
newcomer
this
year. Yeah, well, especially
where
he wasn't even playing, yeah. But he has started a few in a row now, so that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. And then I love Van Aanholt, but like, Van Aanholt is just a player to me who's just like, he's the reason why my defense looks the way it does, is because I just love like cheap defenders that like do shit like him. Like, he's just like a prototypical defender on my team. And so then at the end of the year, like when all these guys just like aren't doing well, my defense just looks like utter shit because I have like a fucking flawed view of defenders. But I really like, I like him, and I think he's like a, he's like the type of player.
Yeah, I think he's good. He always gets forward, which I think is just bad for him when they're against like a good team, probably.
Right.
And he can't really afford to get forward at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I tried to pick him up from Austin for, I think I offered him Mason Greenwood, which he should have taken after the goal. But like, I mean, long term, I don't know if that's true.
Early in the season, I try to, like, probably before any games, I try to give him Greenwood for Jimenez, which would have been good for me in the short term, but now looking at it,
right?
I mean,
I guess Green is on waivers now, so but
Austin can always drop. I wonder if he even knows what happened to Jimenez.
He messaged the chat. You're still muted on the chat from that from that debacle, but yeah,
yeah, I am.
Leicester beat Sheffield 2-1. Ayoze Perez, my least favorite player, like talent wise in the league, and Vardy scored goals for Leicester.
That's nice. I think that's something we agree on, which is somewhat rare. We hate Ayoze Perez.
We hate Ayoze. There's a lot of things we agree on. We hate Perez. We hate Chelsea. I mean, I think there's quite a bit. And then McBurnie scored for Sheffield, which I tend to like McBurnie because he's getting a lot of ghost points, and that touches the soft parts of my heart when a player gets ghost points. But I know you hate him.
Dude, they have scored half as many goals as Arsenal this season, so
that's bad.
That's pretty bad.
I think that also, I guess if you said to me like right now that 11 weeks of the year Arsenal would have twice as many goals as Sheffield, I'd think that's pretty bad too for Arsenal.
But Sheffield are joint lowest with 5 goals scored, so
right.
And Brewster isn't getting like anything.
That's a big disappointment. If I had him, I'd be talking about him more, like how disappointed I was in him, but I don't have him, so I'm not really talking about
it. We can mention it just because I'm sure a lot of people got him in when they saw the transfer go, and he's just really been a stinker, so
he's riding the
that's
bench,
where dude. I drop him for that's where I drop him for someone like we were talking earlier about, like Chris Wood, because Wood's like gonna be for now a more consistent like striker for your bench than Brewster is.
Dude, they've got quite the attacking duo with Oliver Burke and McBurnie.
Yeah, well, Ollie Burke's hilarious whenever I watch him. It's just these sprinting pale legs. It's so funny.
I think Lowe had a good game. He went off at halftime. I'm not really sure why. I can't remember.
Yeah, dude, I'm going to be honest. That's like, if I had to pick a player in the league that I don't know who the fuck they are, it's Max Lowe.
Yeah, like, I look at him, and he looks good. Like, he looks like a player I'd pick. He's that prototypical, like, position that I'd pick for defense, and just, like, low value.
The next Furlong.
He's the next Darnell Furlong, dude. Look for it. Own goal next week.
Great. 1.29 points, though. That's not great.
He got a yellow card and shit. Vardy stole this one at the end, if I remember correctly. What minute was that goal? Yeah, it just 90th. Yeah, it might have been extra time even.
Madison's back starting now for, I think it's like 2 or 3 weeks now that he's been doing that. So people who got him early should be happy that he's finally getting it.
Yeah, he's finally back. Dude, if you were in a league that
Chris has him by 5 points.
Chris has him and Vardy, so he's a Leicester dependent.
Yeah, that game probably saved him.
I'm kind of bummed that I dropped James Justin. Dude, one thing I wanted to bring up, I've been thinking about, Markel Brighton is starting now, and I can't even believe
don't
it.
Tell me that.
Do you remember when I fucking, I just like ignorantly said his name like in our like second preview episode, and what did Nick say?
I hate that.
Nick said some funny shit. But, Markel Brighton is back, baby.
I'm going to guess, looking at where he started, it's because Pereira is still injured and...
Yeah. He's just a utility player.
Castagna's been injured for a while now. We never mentioned how he just, like, disappeared because of that. Because he was really good at the beginning of the season.
Yeah. Pereira should
but
be
I hear
back
Pereira's
like,
like, yeah, I hear he's at least back in training, if not even a bit further along. So I think
ready,
it'll
dude?
Be a couple weeks or
Mark
more, Albright, well, maybe a month.
Markel Brighton played 90 minutes this weekend and put up 15 ghost points. That's my guy right there. That's my guy.
Hey, you should pick him up.
I should drop fucking Darnell Furlong. Too bad our Brighton's in
okay. Bed, so. That's actually one that I would say is probably fine.
I have like fucking well, six players on my team who are fine to drop, dude. My team isn't shambles.
You should drop Ziyech, man. He's injured. And pick up Albrighton. And then, don't worry about it.
One thing we'll get to, but we can just touch on now, is like Ryan Aitnery for Wolves is like rotating with
Marcel.
And it's just, that's a headache. I have Aitnery and I probably should drop him, but...
He did look like a good choice. When he came on, he looked pretty okay this week, I thought.
Yeah. He is.
Considering it was against Liverpool, too.
He's for sure a decent player. It's just I wish they would play like three in the back like they used to.
Yeah.
Back in the good old days, 3 weeks ago. All right. Well, Colin, I mean, I don't really need to talk this much about the next game because, like, I don't know if I can succinctly talk about it, but I guess okay, if I had to sum it up, this is the first North London derby I've watched in my 7 years of Spurs fandom where I just wasn't nervous at all ever.
Yeah.
That's all. I mean, that kind of sums it up.
I will say Spurs were 0.31 XG to 0.66 of IRC.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were just... Well, the thing is, like, the game went exactly how Mourinho planned, and your goals were scored exactly how Mourinho wants them to be scored. Mm-hmm. And we just, like, played into it 100% when, at the least, Arteta should have known better.
Yeah.
And I mentioned earlier about Partey getting injured. I think they rushed him back because they felt like they really needed him for the game, which... Really, if we were going to have a chance, it would be with, like, a fit Partey in midfield, but...
Yeah, I don't criticize...
It's just too soon for him.
Yeah, I don't criticize the choice to play him, though. Like, if they say he's fit, like, you got to play him.
Yeah. So, now he's going to be out again, though, but... Yeah, I mean, there isn't much to say other than, like... You still, from Spurs, you want Son and Kane, for sure.
Yeah, the interesting players, I think, for Spurs are, like, Lo Celso and Dembele and maybe Sissoko. And then, like,
yeah,
I guess the
Bergwijn-Mora
combo is still... And then, dude, Bale, too. Like, I think there's some other players that are, like, interesting, but...
Bale didn't feature. That's what I was going to say, yeah. I don't think I saw him. But, like, what else? So, Kane and Son had, like, mid-20s for points. Aurier had a good amount. But, like, if you take away his clean sheet, he had single digits, Aurier, so...
Mm-hmm.
Even like the defenders without the clean sheet didn't really score much, so I don't know.
Yeah, they weren't that busy. Dude, I traded away Lo Celso and immediately he got, I think this is his first start of the year,
and
it
he
might
got
be
a start.
Second.
Yeah,
and he immediately got a start, and I was like, he's gonna score. I've been telling Nick the whole week, I was like, he's gonna score, dude. I traded him away, he's gonna score. It's just gonna be another Mason Greenwood, but he put an up an absolute shitter, dude. He had like fucking 0.2 points, which I don't get because he seemed like kind of involved and he was like even remotely involved in the first or second goal. So I don't know, but he put up an absolute shitter.
Am I blind? Did he have negative points? Dude, he had negative 0.17. I was looking
for
him
adjusted
on the list.
It. They adjusted it.
I'm filtered to like the latest 7 days, so I get just this week, and I couldn't see him anywhere. And then I scroll past all those zeros, and there he is.
Fuck, dude. Must have adjusted him. They must have given him like an extra dispossession or something.
I wonder, he must have got like a bunch of dispositions or something, yeah.
He had a yellow, but those aren't worth that much on a league.
Or like possession lost or whatever.
Good old PLCs, dude.
Yeah.
I also tuned into Arsenal Fan TV as I do after pretty much not every Arsenal loss, but every meaningful Arsenal loss.
Probably know the people on there more than I do. I never watch it.
Well, I mean, I think like, dude, if you just look at their videos, like after a win versus after a loss, like it is like nobody really watches that to watch them like actually when Arsenal are doing good. So
yeah.
It's just like.
The only time I watch is in the transfer window because Robbie does transfer daily and he just says, like, Thomas Partey, is he coming? And he says, like, the same, like, 10 minutes of sentences.
Yeah, I can picture
day
it.
Because nothing changes ever until it happens.
I can picture it, dude.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they were really shitting on Bellerin, like, really bad.
It's because he's getting called for all these foul throws, but...
Oh, that was like a cherry on top, I think. They were talking about other stuff, and then that came up, and they were like, yeah, dude, you need to be able to take a throw.
Yeah. But then I saw an art. It looked like a, not official, but it was, like, from an official, like, reporter who has, like, known for having info on, like, insider info for Arsenal, and apparently Arsenal submitted, like, pictures of other players all season with foul throws not getting penalized. Like, I guess Reguilon even had one in that same game and didn't get called for it. So it's just like, I don't know.
Yeah,
dude, here's something interesting.
Sounds fun.
Lacazette got 22 points, ghost points in that game.
Wow. Dude, I didn't even notice him.
Yeah. I wonder why.
He does have a good FOMO rating.
Yeah, he's like, I think he is pretty good at hold up and like link up play, but he's not someone that you're gonna, especially where Arsenal's goals haven't been something to like.
Dude, they are just absolutely impotent in the final third, even in the midfield. They're really good in their own third, but
I'm looking where his points came from, and just like no big chances created or anything, just like a lot of volume.
Yeah, dude. They,
because we play through that. Because by comparison, Aubameyang had 3 points, so like he's just isolated out left and just doesn't get anything.
Part of me like wants to like celebrate the win more, but like I'm enjoying watching Spurs, and I don't really need to. But then part of me also thinks that, like, in 5 years or whatever, when Arsenal beat Spurs 2-0 and we look impotent and they're just, like, flowing and scoring goals, that you're just going to be shitting all over my chest. So I'm caught in the middle. I don't really know what to do.
Yeah. Well, I will say Saka got 12 points for me somehow. He seems to be, like, the best form of most consistent ghost points, really, on Arsenal, which...
Which is interesting.
I still would advise against getting their players, but
I rarely watch Arsenal. But I did notice that, like, I thought he looked bad in that game.
Yeah, I thought he did too. But
he was very active.
He looks good in other games.
Points.
Yeah.
And then in the final game of the day, Liverpool beat Wolves 4-0. Fuck this game, dude. Fuck Liverpool. I really wanted a Wolves win in this one. Just like
dude, Wolves are just like lost though, kind of.
Yeah, they looked fucking wayward. Semedo had an own goal. I think that's his first bad week, like, since he started, like, getting full minutes.
Yeah.
Because he otherwise has been amazing, but he didn't have a good game this week at all.
Dude, I thought about, and I'm happy it didn't bite me, because I had no keeper, because Villa didn't play. I was so close to getting Kelleher from Liverpool, but luckily, when I saw that Trent wasn't starting... who was the last player my opponent had, I was like, okay, I'm going to risk it and not get a keeper this week.
Right.
And luckily, even though Trent subbed on, he didn't do much, so.
Right. Yeah, I think he's interesting. Jota's another interesting one, because he subbed on in the 73rd for Firmino, who started this one. I don't know. I'd rather kill myself than own Jota right now, but.
Yeah, well, Andy started this week in the Champions League, I think, and played... Let me see. I think he played most of the game, if not all of it. So.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, I think he's still a good choice going forward, but he's, I don't know, he annoys me. So do all Liverpool players. That's why I don't own one. Haven't owned. I had Trent last year because I had to in the draft, but I rarely pick Liverpool players if I can avoid it. Ever since owning Firmino, like 2 years in a row, 5 years ago, I just can't, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I would always get Salah or Mane, but.
I wouldn't.
Even Mane in that had 15 points.
He consistently gets 15 ghost points, which is his floor, but like I'd expect more from him in terms of like getting above his floor more often.
Yeah, he assisted the own goal, so that was like half of his ghost points too.
I played him this week, so you know I know that.
But then he has weeks where he is just like really good and contributes to multiple goals. So
right, yeah. He just doesn't do that nearly as much as Salah. So
yeah.
But yeah, it's gonna be interesting. It's gonna be interesting down the stretch here. Spurs and Liverpool both tied. I think 20 something points, 21 points. I forget. Maybe that's just an absolute coming out of my ass.
If Spurs won the title, you'll just never hear from me again.
24 points. If Spurs won the title, yeah, dude, that's like. I'm not even, like, considering that, you know. We're just a pony. Pony in the race.
Yeah, the other thing, the Monday game was Brighton-Southampton. Ward-Prowse has, like, just been in good form for Fantrax for a few weeks now.
Dude, Nick was in a hella close battle in this game with Warner, and he had Gross, and Gross scored the penalty in the 26th minute. And, like, it got Nick to the point where it was, like, he just needed a moderate amount of ghost points, like, nothing special to win. And then Vestergaard fucking banged one in and finished him off.
Yeah, Vestergaard's a beast.
he's, like, equivalent to, like, Kurt Zouma almost, right, in terms of, like, just fucking just people's goals. Life up when I you play him.
I think Zuma scored for me this week. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Dude, Zuma's a beast.
Big center backs that get head in crosses and set pieces are just that that doesn't fit into my regimen of players that I pick up. You know what I mean?
The thing is, though,
that ain't Darnell Furlong's game.
I don't feel safe owning Zuma. Like, I always think, it's going to just drop off at some point.
But it won't.
I'm sure it will.
I don't think it will, dude.
Because if you look, he scored 4 goals this season already.
Oh, I mean, he's not going to get 4 goals every 12 games, but...
Yeah, because that would mean he'd end the game the season with, 12 goals. So,
But I could see, But the thing about him is that he's just a killer. Like, in Vestergaard, too. Like, you play them... And if they score, they're finishers, dude. They'll finish your game week off. So that's why it's nice to have them. And not just have fucking impotent little wingbacks that don't do shit like I do.
Robinson's a good fullback, though. Still happy with him.
Yeah, there are good fullbacks, just not
the Ruben Diaz, I'm relying on clean sheets. I think that's something I'd also mention is since City has so much possession, their chance of clean sheets, even though their defense, I wouldn't say is amazing, just their possession is good for keeping cleans.
Yeah. And then, dude, Danny Welbeck had another good game ghost point wise. I'm excited.
Dude, I saw that too. I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, he got one.
Oh, half of it.
I think it was a BCC at the end, and it actually won me the game week. Or maybe it was Solid Marsh that got the BCC. No, I think it was Welbeck. He got a BCC at the end and won me the game week. So I just love that. And then, dude, Southampton are just good. WordPress, stud. Armstrong had a good game this game, but I don't think he hauled in fantasy, but he's been improving. He's not as good as we thought he would be when he first came in, but
Wait, who is that? Which player?
Armstrong.
Oh yeah. Well, and Walcott started, right?
He started and he put up less than 1 fucking point, dude, in 70 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not great.
God damn.
It's they look good, but I don't know about him. Gineppo starting on the left wing, though. That's interesting, even though he always stepped off at halftime. But
that is weird, yeah. I think he had a lot of points for his half.
But yeah, Ings immediately back from injury, immediately gets a goal that won the week for Yam God.
Peter Dinklage, dude. I can't look at Ings without thinking of Peter Dinklage anymore.
Dude, he came on, he got... Actually, a penalty and a big chance created. Either of those don't happen, and he loses the week.
Dude, Yamgod has... Let's just look at his fucking team real quick.
Zaha put up 40.
He has Ings, Zaha, Pedro Neto, Pulisic, Harry Kane. dare I mention. Semedo, Lamptey, Kyle Walker. Dude, he might win the league.
Lookman on the bench.
Sure shit, Darnell Furlong ain't taking him down in 2 weeks when I play him, so that'll be interesting. Alright, what do we got for fixtures this weekend? We got Leeds West Ham. That'll be a great game. I think West Ham should win this game, but
I could see that being 3-3 or something though.
Ooh, that'd be fun. Wolves Villa, another interesting one. Newcastle West Brom. Newcastle Villa, we should mention, didn't play this week. I mean, everyone knows that, but...
Yeah. I wonder if Newcastle will still... Because I don't know if it's been 2 weeks. I wonder... I mean, I know the referee was announced for the game, the Newcastle West Brom, because they're the ones who had, all the COVID exposure that had to cancel last week.
Right.
So hopefully that goes on, although it won't be as nearly as big a loss for me as losing Villa last week.
Mm-hmm. And, what was I going to say about them? I can't remember. I'll think of it in a minute. And then the Manchester Derby, two great games at the end of Saturday, Manchester Derby and Everton-Chelsea. I think both of them will be good games. I'd love to see Everton kick it back in. James, 2 assists, beat Chelsea.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Nice. But I could also see Chelsea just running through their shitty defense.
Yeah, it could be a tramp fest, and I think it will be.
Or Giroud fucking dunking on them all because he's... stud.
While Ziyech fucking watches from the hospital where he fucking is.
There's a good chance he starts, because Ziyech is out, so they're going to need Like, they can't play Werner Striker again.
Yeah.
Unless Tammy gets back in.
Oh, I know what I was going to say about the Newcastle Villa situation. Do you know, and I don't think you do because I don't, if Fantrax like does just like a double game week for like whenever they make up that game?
Yeah, I assume that's what happens because there's no way it would just do like...
Yeah, they must do that. I mean, I could see them just omitting the game. Yeah, but I think more likely they just double count. That just sucks if you have to play Warner that week in Grealish. I mean, that's just a bad draw.
Yeah, it's true. Hopefully it's not me, but I bet it will be.
Who's drawing that card? Yeah, it'll be Javier, dude. That kid has fucking no luck.
You gotta force the lineups, because what's the matter to him? Another loss.
Oh, fuck. Southampton-Sheffield play on Sunday. Palace and Spurs. Fulham-Liverpool. I keep wanting Fulham to like draw a really good team, but obviously I don't think that's going to happen this weekend. Arsenal-Burnley. That should be a fun one.
Oh, God. That's going to be a shittiest game ever. I'm ever going to lose to like a Chris Wood hitter.
Oh, my God. That'd be so good. I think Arsenal find some form and score three. That's my call. And then Leicester Brighton.
Yeah, I don't know. They are a bus, and we definitely won't be able to win by crossing because we couldn't do that against Tottenham. And Burnley is like, that's all they care about is defending crosses. So
they just go to the training ground and fucking see crosses for 2 hours.
Yeah, they all have just fucking concussion damage from hitting the ball just 12 hours a day.
I can see it, dude. I can see it on Chris Wood's face. His face is drooping from that.
Sean Dyche just fucking yelling at them.
Oh, fuck me. So, yeah, in a few weeks here, we're going to do sort of like a... We'll call it a holiday special episode, because that's nice and stupid, huh? But we've been wanting to do like some sort of trivia or something like that. Something that's going to make everyone think that I'm a loser. Because I'm going to write some trivia questions, and then Nick's going to come on the podcast and just shit all over me. So you can look forward to that, because that's 100% what's going to happen. But I think it'll be fun. We'll try to do something like trivia or...
The other thing is all the Christmas pileup starts early this year. It starts next week. So
dude,
like,
there's so many games coming
there's
up.
There's a game week 11 to the 13th, and then... The 15th to the 17th.
Yeah, the 11th to the whatever is when I play Yam God, and it's like I'm not going to have ZH by then.
19th to the 21st, and then Boxing Day is 2 days.
Yeah, we'll have to.
The 28th to the 30th, and then everyone plays on the 2nd, and then they get a 2 week break, or not even, like almost 2 week break.
Right.
So that's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six game weeks.
Holy
and the
fuck.
next 3 weeks.
So I think by January 1st, dude, like we're gonna see the title picture a lot more clear.
There's gonna be carnage of the teams. Like James can't run 90 minutes twice a week.
It's gonna be nuts.
3 weeks.
Teams like Burnley are gonna like see a little bit of success playing like tired teams, like tired Arsenal or whatever. Like
yeah.
Like, because there's also just, like, a
fixture
pile-up. Well,
Arsenal won't be tired because we don't do anything, so.
But, like, all the teams that play Champions League and Europa League are just, like.
Well, like, dude, I think one of the teams that's going to suffer a lot will be Leeds because all they do is run.
Yeah. I mean.
They might lose a lot of players.
You just got to give Jack Harrison a fucking oil change for every game and he'll be fine. But,
He starts, he gets overheated and starts oozing black liquid out of his eyes.
They're like, fuck, sub him off.
Fucking car mechanic comes off and grabs him on a stretcher.
Takes his shoes off with a fucking tire wrench. Yeah, dude, it's gonna be fun. There's gonna be a lot of games, and yeah, we're gonna see a lot of just horrific knee injuries. I mean, I hate to laugh about it. It's okay to laugh about it before it's happened because it might not happen. So, but I think there's just going to be a horrific amount of injuries and it's going to be terrible for the league. But if not, it'll be fun.
No, it's fucking nuts.
Yeah, it's and you know they're playing in Europe this week, and like last week, so it's just all piling up fast.
But yeah, so for a podcast standpoint, might be like, I don't know, because we have this weekend and then the games for our midweek ending on Thursday, and then they play again that Saturday after the Thursday. So
yeah, we'll probably just record on Sunday night for this one and just do like at the end of every game week, like that night.
Yeah, or we'll see. Yeah, it might be random, but if we like say we're in the middle of like a 3-day fixture run, then that'll just have to be how it is.
Yeah,
we can talk about the whole like situation as a whole, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's some interesting stuff to talk about maybe on next episode about like trading players for like a certain set period of time. Like this player might have a good set of fixtures like in Christmas and therefore be someone to look at, like going for picking up off waivers or something like that. But yeah, if you made it to this point in the podcast, which to be honest, I really don't know if anyone is listening to us right now. It might just be me and you. you can, hit us up on Twitter @2_added or on Instagram @2_added. Let us know what you want to see for like maybe a trivia episode, something like that. You know, something festive that everyone else will just criticize me for. Warner and Nick especially, who aren't even here.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right, we'll see you on Sunday night probably, maybe Monday after this game week, and enjoy.
See ya.